The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Ticket to Ride. Yep, we're going to talk about that. Sounds pretty interesting. Plus, big lips means nada. Big lips means nada. And we're answering the most important question.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I had some prevailing going on with the one part of my car there where the pedal on the right is a little longer. We'll talk about that in a second. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All righty then. Let's talk about our sponsors first, because we want to talk about good news first. So let's talk about our sponsors. We're going to start on the top. Now, what does that mean, starting on the top? That means that when you go to a house, what's on the top? It's the very thing that when you look at your dog, you say, how does sandpaper feel? He goes, roof. Our good friend John.
Big John. Big John.
John from the Blessed Roofing Company. TheBlessedRoofingCompany.com. So I will say now, we did receive rain last night. We did not, I don't think there was as much rain as everybody thought there was going to be, but there was a lot of thunder. And I can always tell when it's more than a California type of storm, because my wife, who was born and grew up in Long Beach, always leans closer to me. So last night while we're on the couch, she's leaning on me, and then our very not-so-brave dog was leaning on her, and they were leaning on me as I was rooting on the Dallas Stars. Just telling you everything that's going on, right? So why is that important? Well, here's why it's important. Remember why? Because there was water. Where does the water go? On the roof. What happens? The dog goes, what's sandpaper like? Roof. What's the type of house? Roof. You like that? The segment. Roof. See? Well, you want to get in touch with John, because let me tell you, there'll be plenty of damage that's taking place to a bunch of houses. But instead of having somebody come and do some kind of, I'm not supposed to say this word on radio, but I'm going to say it anyway and just take the blame, kind of like the sneaky, shystery kind of stuff. Here's the bottom line. You want somebody who's a Christian who does their best to do it right without trying to gain the system. Let's gain the system. Why don't you just stay away from the system? Make sure that you gain in the kingdom. So what I'm encouraging you to do is get in touch with John. Have him check your roof out. Won't cost you a single penny for him to inspect the roof. Period. And you can tell him directly, hey, David Spoon sent me. You might get a lollipop. Probably not, but you could. If he has lollipops in his office, you would. You call 469-BLESSED. 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 I asked my son last night. He goes, well, is it blessed or blessed? I go, spell one. He goes, Oh, blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I said, all right, now spell blessed. He goes, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. I go, there you go. Tomato, tomato, 469 blessed, theblessedroofingcompany.com. Free inspections, no out-of-pocket costs for roof repair, roof replacements. Get in touch with John. He's our good friend. We like John. John's lively. He's coming in the studio like next week. He's lively. You think I'm lively? Ha! He's lively, like alive. Thank you. All right. And then our second sponsor. Now, we have four more that I got to finalize next week. But enjoy this while you can, because these are going to get long and long and long. Our next one, Pamela Milchione.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
That's Milchione. All right, so here's the bottom line. Pamela is a person who works higher level in the sense of not higher dollar. Did you notice I said that? Higher level. Not just a person who's like, yeah, I'm going to do real estate because I want to have a couple extra dollars because I want to go to Mississippi. No. So this is what she does for her living. This is what she does for her service in the kingdom. And so if you want to do a transaction, whether you're selling or buying, with somebody who cares and understands the blood, sweat, and tears, you want to talk to Pamela. That's just as simple as it can be. She will walk you through it. You can meet with her. It doesn't cost any money. She'll sit down. She'll talk with you. She'll either tell you where you're headed if you're looking to sell your house, what the value is, where you're headed if you're looking to buy it, or if you're looking to do both. And she'll help you walk through that process. The Blessed Realty Company. Again, blessed or blessed. It's not going to matter. The Blessed Realty Company, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. The Blessed Realty Company.com. You can always call her 817-505-5541. 817-505-5541. Okay. How you doing, Wonder Julie? Are you doing good today?
I am good. How are you?
Okay. Well, you know, I was doing my work and my study. I do study for the show, and then I do work and trying to generate business, and sent out some proposals and had a very nice talk with Dr. Brandon, the chiropractor that does upper cervical that my wife, that's the only thing she responds to. So we're trying to work something out, and then if he becomes our chiropractor guy, we'll have him on, you know, on a regular basis. Nice guy. So we've been touching base back and forth for months. So I get in the old Car-a-roo, and I decide, got to drive down, and I'm going in Fayette. You know, it's not a short hop, skip, and a jump. It's a drive, right? Is that horns? Is that what that is? Yeah, we need like a kind of thing. Anyway. So I'm driving, and you know when you go from, you take the right-hand turn to get onto the freeway, but then before you get on the freeway, there's that space, and then you have the freeway entrance, right? So you have, like, the freeway entrance, and then you have, like, another road that typically goes straight where you don't go on the freeway, so usually you'll take a right-hand turn, then you'll move over into the left lane, and then you go. Well, I did that, only I thought that Flash, the superhero, was right next to me, so him and I were racing. He won because he got past the officer, and I didn't. lest you think I am one to typically break the law, this is my first ticket in 24 years. But I did receive a ticket. It is my fault. I acknowledge it. You know what was amazing about the whole thing is you go through these big dramatic things where you get tickets and so forth. He pulled me over. I pulled over into this little garage area. He asked for my license. I gave him my information. He wrote me a ticket. I said, okie dokie. He said, okie dokie. He left. The whole thing took like 4.5 minutes. 4.5 minutes for the government to go, that'll be a couple hundred, thanks. Like, wow. So, you know, I will confess that I drive a little faster than I should. This has given me a nice caution because there's no way to really get your attention by saying, stop breaking the law. That's a kind of a generally immoral thing to do. And number two, oh, now it'll cost you. So, and the truth was I wasn't paying attention because somebody had just sent me a text. I get texts all the time, and I try not to drive and do the text thing because I don't like it. But I'm guilty. I own it. I'm going to do my darndest to take care of it as soon as possible. I already talked to the court. You know what they told me? They told me it's not even the system for 3 days. You're not supposed to, like, call within an hour. Like, I know, but I did it. I was – okay. Anyway. All right, couple things to hit on that we do need to talk about. These are kind of interesting or important things. One, today is the National Day of Prayer, May 2nd. I want to thank Tiffany for reminding me. I've done several of these, routines, but I haven't done anything in Dallas yet, so I'm still working out. Let me read this to you. National Day of Prayer is observed May 2nd, 2019. National Day of Prayer is an annual day of observance held on the first Thursday of May, designated by the United States Congress, when people are asked to turn to God in prayer. Each year, the president signs a proclamation encouraging all Americans to pray on this day. The modern law formalizing an annual observance of it was enacted in 1952, although the historical origins go all the way back to George Washington. So when people go, well, that's just – first of all, people say this all the time. Well, that was just recently added. That's a modern thing. Well, first of all, the day of prayer has been around in spirit since George Washington, which pretty much takes it to the beginning of the country. So everybody who's freaking out on that, let that go. The second thing is that people saying that statement always makes me laugh. They go, well, that's recently added. And your point – is, well, that's not how they did it in the 1700s. Well, in the 1700s, they didn't have cell phones. So because they didn't have cell phones in the 1700s, they made no law and legislation. Why don't you just throw out your cell phone? Because, you know, it's not really in the 200-plus era history. It's like when people make statements like that, why did they say that? Well, that was recently added. Good. Good. I'm glad. That means that the country's not completely falling into the hole yet kind of mentality. And so when people have a hard time, it's like, bad. Who cares? All I want to say, National Day of Prayer. You know what that really means institutional-wise? That people should turn to God. That's a, you know, there's a time in your life where, you know, let's just be honest. You have tried everything. Who hasn't? I spin every plate I can spin. You ever see the Ed Sullivan Show? And they spin the plates, and then the guy goes for the next one, and the next one, he keeps spinning it, and you're trying to keep all the plates spinning. And yeah, I've done that. Not the plates, life. I'm spinning it and spinning it. And sometimes, you know what? You just got to stop it and pray. Just like, Lord, you know what? I can't do this. I need help.
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Allah!
All right, we'll skip the Allah part, though. So, but here's how that's good. We'll get into that theory and that discussion another time. But that's the whole point. The point is stop. You need help, right? You know, there's a bumper sticker that says, you could always ask Jesus. You could always ask Jesus. Hey, you know what you're going through? Hey, you could always ask Jesus. What an idea. All right, we're going to take a short break, come back into some deep teaching. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name. The Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right. Let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my my roofing needs, whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLEST or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. You know, I just realized how funny that Gmail sounds. Not mine, just Gmail. Gmail. You know, it's like so bizarre. Anyway, website, David Spoon Media. Facebook, if you're joining us live, thank you. Appreciate that. David Spoon Media. And then YouTube, David Spoon Media. And then if you're looking to do something from a roof, David Spoon Media. If you're trying to write letters in the sky with your plane, David Spoon Media. There's a theme. There it is. There it is. That's the theme. Okay, we do have a trivia question. We do. So if you are trivia inclined, every once in a while we like to throw these out. Just keep people thinking. Keep things going, because we're going to go back into Matthew 15. I want to recover the prophecy from Isaiah real quickly, but I do have a question for you. Let's see if you know it. How old was Abraham? How old was Abraham when he was circumcised? How old was Abraham when he was circumcised? You know, if you were Jewish, you would actually find some of that, you know, pretty funny. Because being born and raised Jewish, growing up Jewish, my mom and dad would say, if Moses only turned left instead of right, they'd add the oil. You see? It's funny. That's a funny statement. Left instead of right, they'd add the oil. Okay. Maybe the next time the Lord wants to use a sign for people, it could be, here's an extra 100,000. That's a good one. I like that too. All right. Yesterday we took some time and we had some people ask some questions actually on Facebook. We tried to answer those. And we actually dealt with being a Christian. Can you be Christian? Can you be gay? And we talked about sexuality from a scriptural point of view. And I didn't really dive deep into this one prophecy that Jesus had made reference to, one statement that Isaiah talked about that Jesus had cited when he was dealing with the Pharisees. And I kind of wanted to go back to it because I don't feel like I did it justice. And so I'm going to kind of go back to it. It's out of Matthew 15:6. This is right after Jesus is rebuking them about the traditions nullifying the direct commandments of God. And then in verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commandments with their own man-made teachings.'" Jesus said he quotes Isaiah, and Isaiah makes the comment that people are honoring God with their lips, but their hearts are not there. And I kind of went over it kind of quickly, and so I'm calling this "big lips means nada." And the reason that I'm calling it that is because people think that because they say certain things in certain ways that therefore that makes them right or righteous. And this could not possibly be further from the gospel truth that Jesus Christ made absolutely clear, that people who honor God with their lips but their hearts are far away, it's a farce. It means nothing. And you can't help yourself. I mean, I can't help myself. When you think about who would that be who spends a lot of time talking, and you might want to say, "Oh, well, it's a Christian talk show host." And it's like, yeah, no, I think most Christian talk show hosts are really trying to figure it out and walk it right. But who says things that are just for people to hear? Who's dropping things on people who have itching ears just so that they can get support? Most of the time, that's politicians. And I think what has happened is, it being politicians, we have forgotten the concept of what a politician was supposed to be or should be from the point of view of what it is now. I know it's really tough to think of this, but watch this statement. "A person who serves in public office is supposed to be a public servant." It's just like, wait, what? Well, that's not even close. Yeah. No kidding. Politics. We've talked about this before. Poly means many. Ticks, blood-sucking insect. So many blood-sucking insects. We get that. Here's the problem. The problem is people who are going into the public arena in a governmental position, whether it's a government that is heavy-handed or whether it's a government that's light-handed, whether it doesn't matter, they're supposed to be public servants. So the big argument right now is, are you telling me that, you know, if you watch some of these people talk and people who are running for president, like a Bernie Sanders, you'd think I'd be more favorable to him because he has a Jewish background, but he's a self-loathing Jew. So it's really too tough to do. I can't do it. And then the bottom line is he's like, you know, well, we should take those people's money. In fact, I think I can actually do an impression of how he does it. Ready? "We should take those people's money." Now, what's he going to do with it? Who knows? He's a millionaire. He doesn't care. See, it's all rubbish, and it's lip service. He might have the conviction in his lips, but in his pocketbook, he owns 3 homes. I think it's really simple. Somebody should stand up in one of his meetings and say, "You believe in sharing? Give me one of your homes." What's the problem? And I think all these Hollywood people, well, I mean, it's incredible what's going on. So what does happen is they're making a ton of money. I'm not saying they shouldn't make a ton of money, but they're turning around and saying everybody should share, except for us, because we have 90,000 square foot homes and we're not letting anybody in. And we don't like walls, except for the 16 walls I have around my home so nobody gets into my house and my security system and my security team. It's rubbish. It's lip service. And then there are the preachers who do the lip service. And they do lip service, and it's all about what they're saying. It's all about what they're communicating. And people that have itching ears are like going, "Oh, that just sounds so good." I'd rather have a preacher get up there and tell me, "Yeah, you know, I'm struggling with this, and I'm trying to get through this, and I'm working on it with the Lord," then tell me just how great he is and how great he is for the church or the people of God or the kingdom of God. Here's a super big shock. God doesn't need any of us. I think Billy Graham was one of the most respectable people that had, I mean, he was the only person ever voted in 10 straight or 5 straight decades to be the most admired person. I got news for you. You're going to find this amazing. God didn't need Billy Graham. Billy Graham needed God. You understand? We're getting to this place where, you know, our position needs to be a little more clear. This is about him. And this is about us honoring him. And this is about us honoring him a little bit better than just saying it. I can tell you exactly what happened after I got the ticket. I got the ticket, and I thought I should have a good attitude about this. And I said, you know, Lord, I'm supposed to thank you for everything. You know, maybe this prevented me from something worse happening in 2 or 3 minutes. And then about 30 seconds went by, and I was like, on the other hand, I'm not sure it needed to cost me so much money for me to learn this lesson. And then I go back, but no, I should have a better attitude about it. I should be more, you know, loving. And then the other part of me is going, yes, but I could have got a warning. You see what happens? But you see, that's what happens to us. That's real. I would, if I got on this air and said to you, oh, the guy gave me a ticket. I went away dancing. I thanked him. I threw him a party. I bought him a cake. I'm going to put his kids through college. I'm so excited. I mean, come on, folks. I made a mistake. And I got chastised for it. Yeah. That's how I feel. I should have done better. I put the burden on myself and on my wife. I'm a dummy. Thank you. Dummy. But I'd rather have a preacher tell me that than tell me how wise, or even, I'm so wise because I don't believe in the gifts. I'm so wise. It's like, what are you, a Pharisee? Sit down. If you can express like Jesus, then you should be able to put your hand on the leper, the people that are the worst and that are looking the worst and feeling the worst, and love on them too, not just people who are just like you. And so I sit there and I think, you know what? There's a difference between people whose hearts are towards the Lord and whose lips are towards the Lord's. And just because somebody speaks well or flatters or says something, and politicians say smooth stuff all the time, just smooth, soundbite, this, that, whatever. Where's their heart at? That's what I I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to get my heart in the right place. I don't know if you go through that. I do. I've been a Christian for 40 years. I'm still on a daily basis trying to do it right before the Lord. I'm so far away. I'll just tell you, I talked to somebody today. I said, the Lord's working on me. He's got a long way to go. Because that's the truth. That's why. Well, that matters too. Remember 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We come back, we're going to answer the most important question.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
What can you do? Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's a good one. Texas. I like that. Texas. All right. We should work something out because we're doing this live Facebook-y thing. So we get like to the last 30 seconds or 15 seconds. You know, maybe, we. I have a clock, but I don't use it. Am I supposed to use a clock? Is that what that's for?
You don't have to use a clock.
Okay. I should probably do something. I get on the air, and I'm sorry, I just enjoy sharing and talking and talking and sharing and sharing and talking and talking and sharing. It sounds like a movie. There's still a trivia question out there, and I want to make sure. Oh, by the way, I want to make sure also that Ace received his gift certificate. I hope he got that. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. How old was Abraham when he was circumcised? Waza. That's a tough question. The answer is, for those that are trying to really understand these kind of things, like, I really want to understand that. Genesis 17. That's all I can tell you is Genesis 17. 972-445-0770. I should probably make sure that's the right scriptural reference. That's probably a good idea. Let's get into the very next thing. Oh, I do want to say something about the Poynter Institute. Have you heard about the Poynter Institute? This is not the Poynter Sisters, okay? And it's not like a laser pointer. And remember when your teacher had the little pointer and it was a stick and had a little rubber tip? Remember that in school? Do you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, you have to be older.
Chalkboard and eraser back in the olden days.
Back in the old days before they had a 3D television in school. Anyway, there's an institute called the Poynter Institute. There's a point to them. They have the pointer. They're the Poynter Institute. And they have come up with 515 websites that you should not get any information from, of which 512 are conservative and or Christian websites. So 500 websites. Don't go to these websites, because if you go to these websites, these are conservative people or Christian people, and they have a little form there, and it says on the Poynter Institute, is there any website you want us to check out that you think we should tell people not to visit? So I filled out the form. And I put, I'll get it in just a second. The Poynter Institute, I told them the website people shouldn't go to is the Poynter Institute because they are suffering severely in the realm of the cranium capacity. That's what I wrote. It's not nice of me. I'm such a nice guy. All right. This is David. What can I get you?
Shalom, David.
Hey,
this
brother.
This is Sam.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. And my answer is, Abraham was between 107 and 110.
Wow, that's really, now you're going deep, and I'll tell you why. Because why do you say between 107 and 110? Talk to me for a little bit. Tell me what you're making.
Well, because, you know, on the seventh day they do the circumcision according to the Jewish traditions or law. But because when Sarah conceived, like Abraham was almost 100 years old. So that's kind of my calculation is.
Okay, that's a good, I see what you're doing with that. That's a good calculation. But when we're talking about Abraham's circumcision, okay, we're talking about, let me give you the passage. It's Genesis 17:24. You ready for this? Ready? Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13.
Okay.
So he was actually 99 years old. But if you were doing a calculation approach, that's pretty thoughtful on your end. That's pretty good. How did you just sit there and start to calculate it? That's pretty good. That's pretty good, man.
That was just my head.
That's pretty good. I'm telling you, if somebody would ask me that, I would have said half off. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to say. That's a good one. Good. That was a good guess. I just wanted to give you the specific on that. For his circumcision, though, he was 99, and then Ishmael was 13. So, but that was good. I'm glad you called in. Good job. And you'll have that. You'll have that another opportunity tomorrow. Okay, my brother. Okay.
Nice try.
I didn't know we had that sound. That's kind of a cool sound. What was that? I was like,
Nice try.
Love it. I love when people don't call in and talk to me. I thank everybody. You guys don't understand. It's fun for me. It makes it cool.
We've got a new listener too, isn't he a new listener?
He's called in once before.
Oh, yeah. It must have been when I was gone.
We've bribed a couple of people. Hey, a turkey sandwich goes a long way.
It does, and you can cut it in quarters, you know.
Oh. That would have been good to know. All right. So anyway, going back to the Poynter Institute, I told the Poynter Institute the one website they should review that tell people not to go to is the Poynter Institute. It's so dumb. All right, let's get into – I want to get into this teaching real quickly. Thank you for the phone call, by the way. This is Matthew 16:13. Notice I don't do it every single section. Some sections stand out a little better than others. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." This, my friends, is the single most important question you will ever, ever, ever answer in your life, period. And I know what you want it to be. You want the most important question to be, do you want fries with that? But it is not. The most important question is, who do you say that Jesus is? That's it. You thinking all this. Now watch this little breakdown. This is kind of an interesting element. So Jesus, they're in Caesarea Philippi, and he says, who do people say that I am? Who are people? What do they say about me? That's kind of the question. And then some said John the Baptist, some said Elijah, others said Jeremiah. Do you know all three of those people were dead, right? So for any of those answers to be correct, those people who answered that or thought that, they had to be thinking outside the box, right? But then Jesus dismisses that because what other people say about Jesus is not the key question. It's what you say about Jesus. It's about what I say about Jesus. It's about what we say about Jesus. That is the most important question. Who do you say I am? Jesus asked them. Now, these are guys that have been with Jesus. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, just from a notation point of view, we're 16 chapters deep in Matthew. They've already seen multiple miracles. They know what's going on. And Jesus still asks them, even though they've been with Jesus, who do you say that I am? Let me tell you, just because a person goes to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking in the garage makes you a car. Thank you, Billy Sunday. Yeah, he's the first person to say that. So here's the key component. You have to answer that. And sometimes you have to answer that even as your walk is progressing. You have to answer it again and again, not to get saved, just to keep the priorities straight. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say? Of course, Peter's answer, and we'll get to this in the next one, but Peter's answer is, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I want to talk about the Messiah, because the word Messiah also means Christ. Or it's Messiah in Hebrew, Christ in Greek. It means anointed one, chosen one, but not just any chosen one, because there are many chosen ones for different things. This is God's chosen one. Ooh, that's like kind of a little different, right? But I want to drop a little theology in your lap first. Here it is. People, in order to be faithful in Christianity and not be perverted in Christianity, people need to recognize that Jesus, before he is the model that they are trying to follow, he is first the Lamb who died for their sins. The biggest perversion the church has encountered in the last 200 years has got nothing to do with eschatology whatsoever. It's got nothing to do with ecclesiology whatsoever. You have people that take political positions based on them saying this is the example that Jesus Christ set, without even understanding that before you can follow Christ as a model, you must understand Christ as the Lamb. John in his gospel said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." In Revelation, it is announced that Jesus is a Lamb and a Lion. By the way, and you must understand, and I must understand, before there is any position of us becoming Christ-like, that the blood of Jesus Christ has to be applied to us. And what has happened in the realms is people name the name of Christ, claiming to follow Christ without ever listening to Christ, reading about Christ, or knowing Christ. Doesn't that sound ridiculous? But that's what they're doing. Well, Jesus would have done it this way. Do you know who Jesus is? No, but he would have done it this way. But do you know that he died for your sins? Yeah. No, Jesus would have done it this way. It's amazing, because what they'll do, and it's funny because scripture talks about Judas Iscariot doing this, they'll talk about needing to get money so they can feed the poor, just like Judas Iscariot did, although the scripture says he was actually a thief and was taking the money for himself, right? I mean, that's what's the most amazing part of that. But they'll make some kind of proclamation, some kind of thing that this is like, they won't know Jesus from a hole in the ground. And they'll yet claim to be Christian without Christ. It doesn't work. It does not work. Jesus is the Lamb first, then he's the model. And these people that name the name of Christ do so not knowing who he is, making stuff up, taking money, trying to act like they're all this and that. If you don't know Jesus as the Lamb, you will never understand the ministry or the mission of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. That's first. Everything else builds on that. It's poor theology that kind of messed that up. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You can take a short break, come back for some more. Don't go anywhere.
Wow, what a roof!
It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Oh, tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm getting closer on that. I can just feel it. Texas. You know, it's just got that fur. Did you get to watch any of the hockey game last night?
No, I did not.
Okay. Well, I watched it until I had to go to bed.
They won, though, right?
Yeah. I have to go to bed early, though. And this is the problem is, it was a little bit of an advantage being in California with 2 hours back because you could watch stuff and it was on like a couple hours early. But now we have to go to bed early. It's two main reasons. One, because my wife and I have to get up very early in the morning. And two, I'm older. So I no longer make fun of people who say, I got to go to bed. You know, I used to make fun of people that did that when I was able to stay up till like 3 in the morning and then get up like at 7 and just like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Now, if I don't get like a good 7-8 hours of sleep, I'm like the dog. Like, I'm just tired and, you know, if you're not going to pet me, leave me alone. I don't know. Your dog's like that?
My dogs kept me up all night long in the storms last night, so I slept from about 12:30 to 3 a.m.
See, you're like a young'un.
Yeah, whatever. And then my dogs curl up and go to sleep while I'm getting ready to go to work.
You know, I just, you know, and then, you know, I'm going to say this. I don't mean this rudely. If it's going to storm, I want it to storm. If it's not going to storm, then don't storm. It's almost like either show up or don't show up. I'm, you know, I'm busy, you know. And but I'm not used to the thunder. I'm still working through the thunder. In California, it's just people screaming in the street trying to find food. It's so different. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. I have a little bit against California. Leave me alone. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. So on and so forth. So we were talking about the great question that everybody has to answer, and that is simply this, and that is basically Jesus asked the disciples, and he didn't just ask Peter, by the way. He asked them. There's a plural there. Who do you say that I am? Just Peter gave the great answer. Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then you notice I just went on a little riff talking about the theology problem of people doing a lot more trying to model than recognizing Jesus as the Savior. They don't see Jesus as the Lamb. They just see him as a model. Here's the small little problem with that. Jesus talks about sin 100% more than he talks about the poor. I just want one person to say that on there once. Well, you know, Jesus talked a lot more about sin. Oh, he did? Well, we're not doing that. It's like, that's what I just wish they would be honest about it. Anyway, so it's not that Jesus was the Messiah or will be the Messiah. He is the Messiah now and always. And so Messiah, again, the Hebrew is Messiah, the Greek is Christ. It means chosen, anointed one is the most direct definition, chosen one. And it's God's chosen one, so to speak, for us to understand and to connect to God. And so we understand Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In fact, when we do invitations, we will say, make him Savior and Lord of your life. The Lord process is a much more in-depth sanctification process. That's the process where God makes you look like Jesus, you know, piece by piece, and that takes longer. It's not that he's not Lord of your life, but for him to truly be Lord over every area is much more of a process in sanctification, whereas Savior is much more instantaneous, specifically for justification or from the penalty of sin. So I think of it, and this is going to be a terrible way to say it, but I think of Jesus as saving me from sin, from separation from God, from suffering, and from a sucky future. That's what I say. It's like, 'cause, listen, if you reject Christ, your future is awful. It's terrible. It's not good. There's no good. There's nothing good coming. You know, there's not enough sunblock in your future that could help. That's how it goes. And so we look at Christ, and he is our Savior and our Lord. And so Peter's answer is a phenomenal answer, which is great since Peter has done so many other things that will Scripture bears out that are not so great. And one of those things will follow the story. We'll talk about it tomorrow when he decides he's no longer the disciple, that he's the teacher. We'll discuss that. But I love what Jesus said, and a lot of people misunderstand. I want to keep it as simple as possible. This is the spot where Jesus said, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from human beings. And now I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Okay, and in some of the better translations, it says gates of hell. Here's a really important part to understand that, because some churches have said, well, see, Peter, he's the first main guy, and so it's all built on Peter, and it's like, that's not even in the Greek at all. Zero. Wrong. Are you telling me they're all wrong? Yes. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Peter is Petro in the Greek. And it means stone or rock. And when Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church," he used the word Petra, not Petro. And so Peter is a rock, but Petra is a rock bed. You know what a rock bed is? I mean, this is Texas. You guys have to know. A rock bed is a bed of rocks. Right? A whole bunch of rocks. Typically what? They have like either chicken wire, some kind of wire over them, you know what I'm saying? Or they're, you know, laying. It's a whole group of rocks. And it's not just Peter that the church is built on. It's the whole group of rocks. And what are the whole group of rocks doing that they have in common with Peter? Saying, "You're the Messiah. You're the guy. You're the Son of the living God." It's the multiple of the confessions of believers, not just Peter. It's the multiples of confessions that make the church. It's the multiple of confessions that put it in a position that the gates of hell shall not conquer it. And oh my goodness, I did 4 extra hours of studying on gates and offensive and defensive. And it's like, at this point, my conclusion is it means both offensive and defensive. The principle is simple here. It's that the kingdom of God established through the confession of believers in regards to the lordship of Jesus Christ will outlast the kingdom of darkness. Bam. That's what you got to know.
We're on a mission from God.
That's right. See, that's what a great play that was. That's a classic movie. Anyway, so the bottom line is this confession is Peter. You know what? Give the guy credit, man. He's especially because he's going to do a few things that are really dumb, like in five verses. That's what a great answer. Who do you say I am? You know, somebody could have said, you the man. I mean, that would have been good. I just think, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God's better. I think that's a better answer. You are the Messiah. You are the chosen one of God. You are the Son of the living God. You are the one that connects heaven and earth. You're the one that between the pipe in heaven and the pipe in earth and all the clogging that takes place, you're the one that blows it out and makes it clean. Because with you, Jesus, you give us an ability to connect to heaven and to the Father. Exactly. He died for our iniquities. He was raised for our righteousness. If you look at the scripture, you will understand that he dies so that we're not in animosity with God, and he resurrects so that we're in friendship with God. Each component of Jesus' work has a process and a completion to it. And that process is when he died, he put down the strife and the tension that existed. When he rose again, he created a new level of relationship. I love stuff like that. That's the stuff I love. I'm just weird that way. I think that stuff's cool. The question is still the most important question you will ever answer. I'll deal with the gates of hell a little more tomorrow. But the question is still a question you have to answer right now in your own life. And it's simple. Who do you say that Jesus is? Because you have to answer that question. And you think, well, no, I got as much time as I want. No, you don't. You don't have as much time. You are not in charge of how much time you have. Well, if I live healthy, I can live an extra 3 months. You will die on the exact day that the appointment of your death has been designed. You better answer that question before then. Because you don't get to do it's not a Timmy do-over. It's like, oh, I get to do it over. No, you don't. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. I mean, you get one shot. So you have to answer the question, simple as can be. Who do you say I am? That's Jesus asking the question. Now we have to answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are my Savior and my Lord. You are chosen of the Lord. You are the anointed. You are God's revelation of his love, and you connect us and enable us to live forever. Just think of it in those terms. It's so awesome. Jesus is so cool. I wish people would stop making him uncool. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Everyone and everything we find meets the hungry giant.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.